Are you or someone you love in need of mental health support? For All Seasons is now offering same-day therapy appointments with no wait list. Through the For All Seasons Open Access Program, you can walk in for mental health services and begin therapy in the same visit. For All Seasons accepts all insurances and provides financial assistance if you need it. For therapy, psychiatry, or victim support, we have appointments available today. Call For All Seasons, 410-822-1018.
Welcome to the No Picks of the Dark podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Dante. Folks, I told you, I'm on location. I'm everywhere. I'm going where the story's at, and we're going to make this happen this evening. I mean, if you can see this room right now, a number of celebrities are here hanging out. And just, I'm so honored to be in this room this evening. And I thank you ladies for having me in here. I have this awesome rock star, Smith Ann Dorman. How are you?
I am great. It's so good to be with you.
We finally made it happen.
Finally. It's been a while.
It's like that song by CeCe Pendergrass. Finally. I can't sing.
Yeah, I can dance. I can't sing. You sing, I'll dance.
But I'm glad we had time to talk and tell people a little bit of background about you, an audience who are out there listening for the first time, watching for the first time.
Sure. So my name is Beth Ann Dorman. I'm the president and CEO of For All Seasons. We are the Behavioral Health and Rape Crisis Center for the Midshore of Maryland. But because of COVID, we also serve all 24 jurisdictions of the state of Maryland for telehealth, psychiatry, and rape crisis services. And we are in the middle of a really important weekend, a fundraiser called the Best Girlfriends Weekend. So we're on location at the Inn at Perry Cabin in St. Michael's, and Aaron has been gracious enough to come down and be a part of a weekend where we're really giving back to women and being able to talk about self-care and the importance of living into our values and really focusing in on good mental health.
Well, you know, I wanted to come down here because it's such stigma out here, and let's keep it real. It's like you have the West Shore and East Shore. Let's throw it out there. I'm not going to sit here and lie to anybody. I mean, how many times I was telling one of my friends, I'm like, I haven't been to Eastern Shore since August.
The Eastern Shore.
And that's it. Feels like, all right, you know, it's pretty far away, you know, but it really isn't. It's only an hour ride. But it was like, they're like, oh, you going over there? What's going on over there? And I'm like, there's some great things that I really believe in, and I want to connect the dots. And that's one of the things, one of the reasons why I'm here this evening. Because I want to make sure that we're all Maryland, and those two different sizes, some waterways that cover it. But let's make it happen. Let's join together and figure out how we get this message over in Baltimore, in Howard County, and you know, other counties out there, which you guys are going, because I think it's very important that people hear about this.
Yeah.
Just so you guys get an idea, I have over 18,000 people that listen to the show or watch the show. And that's the impact that we have on the community. So that's one of the things that are really big to me. So community, we're going to talk
community,
about that.
Because
that's going to be my theme. Because if it's not about community, I want nothing to do with it. I tell people that right away. So you've been here for a while. How did we get here? You've been here for 10 years. In this day and age, nobody sits at a job for 10 years. I have a sister who switched jobs 3 times. And she's only been to work for 5 years. Yeah. How does that even happen anymore?
You know, I think I started out my career in higher education, but I am a clinician by training. And the journey to here is not what I planned, which is what you and I talk about all the time. Sometimes we have to go where we are led. And I was in a situation of serving on the board of this organization. We are really fortunate to have one of our founders here in the room with us. This organization has been a part of our community for over 37 years. The former executive director was diagnosed with cancer and died very suddenly. And I came in a part-time capacity. My plan was to be home with my children and leave my former job and stay home and raise kids. And you know, Aaron, when you find a passion and when all roads converge, it's kind of like when you share your story about how you started the podcast and a little bit got you to go a little further and a little further. And what I found was that the social justice lens that I hold for the rights and for the services for victims of sexual assault and sexual trauma, my love of being in the community and talking about mental health and being able to be a servant leader in a community, it feels like a blink of an eye. But to know that it's 10 years this coming July that I've been in the position full time, and my 10-year interim anniversary was just last week.
Are you surprised you've been here for 10 years? Because I always tell people that, you know, I've had a couple of jobs here and there, and I've always stayed a long time. And then I'm like, oh, it's time for me to go.
Yeah.
How do you feel after 10 years?
I feel like there's still work to do. And, you know, when we look back, when I first came to the agency, we were a very small nonprofit. There were 23 employees. We were a $1 million company. We were in a lot of financial trouble. and we didn't have a sustainable plan. And I'm really proud of what we've done over the 10 years. We're now a $9.3 million company. We are over 100 employees and volunteers that work with our agency. We're sustainable. And my goal was to be able to say, in the trajectory of the time, that if one person left, that we could still stand. And so, you know, even just this last month, our CFO has decided to make a transition to doing consulting work. We didn't fall apart. You know, we're an agency now that is a part of this community. There's not a danger that we're going to go away. And that's really important because mental health has to have stability in the community, or we as a community cannot be at our best.
Yeah, I mean, mental health means a lot. And I think it's been one of those things that's taboo. Mm-hmm. I remember going to different places where I visit family, and we had, I always remember this to this day, there was a cousin that nobody could talk to. Mm-hmm. And it was like, why can't you talk to this person in the back room? And it took me until I got older, like, oh, he just has some different issues. And, you know, I always tell people, why did we do that? Why did we do that to people? Mm-hmm. Maybe we didn't have the resources. Maybe we didn't have the time to figure out what's really going on. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't have money. A lot of people don't have time. Mm-hmm. We could talk all day about issues I have going on with other things personal, but I've learned that. And when we met, we hit it off right away because I said, this is, I was like, how did we even meet? And we met on a chance.
It was a total chance.
Total chance. Mm-hmm. And I always think, I always tell people, you are where you're supposed to be.
100%.
And if you're, and I don't ever push it because you don't want to push things, but you're doing a great job. You know, I did my homework. I did my due diligence. I was like, who is this
check
person?
Me out.
Who is this person? I literally have friends in Baltimore like, who is this person? We never, and literally, I have advisors in the background who advise me. And they're like, all right, let's find out who she is first and find out a little bit more information before you jump into this. And I'm glad that, you know, I was like, you know what? Sometimes I have a good read on people. I haven't gotten this far without doing that. Mm-hmm. And that's how I've gotten. Just, you know people, you can read people right away. You can read the aura. And what you're doing, I commend you on what you're doing because it's hard. It's a battle every day.
Yeah, you know, this is, and I appreciate that. And I think it's not just a battle for me. It's a battle for our team. But it's also a great reward. You know, we talked all day today in some of the sessions that we've been doing about connection, about community, and about living into our values. And for those of us that show up at work every day and give our whole hearts to our community, that's what it's all about. You know, we have 90 employees, an additional 15 volunteers who show up with their whole heart. And it's hard and it's challenging. You know, it is not easy what walks through our doors. But our agency is also the only agency on the shore that sees people regardless of their ability to pay. You know, we don't care if you have insurance or if you don't have insurance. We'll either help you get it. And if there's a reason that you can't get it, we have donors who support the work that we do. We cover co-pays. We know and we understand that mental health is not something that can wait. And that is something that we've really been working on in these last couple of years. Because my philosophy has always been, it is not my job to be the expert in everything. It is my job to bring the experts to the table and to set them sail in doing what they do best. So the team that has come together really is what has made For All Seasons who they are in the community.
And I asked every CEO, I just had Interview Care First CEO, and I said, how did you pivot during the pandemic? Give us a walkthrough about that, because you couldn't see people, you couldn't touch people.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important for a lot of people. You know, I know a lot of telehealth works for some. Mm-hmm. Some it works for others. How did you guys work on that?
Yeah, I will tell you, we were the last fundraiser in the community before the pandemic. We had a huge fundraiser that we used to do called Heart and Music. And I will always remember this because it was on March 5, 6, 7, 8, like a dance step. And it was right after we did our Heart and Music fundraiser that word started to get out about COVID. And when the shutdown started to become something we knew was absolutely imminent, we called all of our leaders together and I did what I called a bunker room meeting. We took 5 days, we were in a conference room, and we got all of our leaders together and I said, our job is to be able to, in 5 days, flip from in-person to 100% telehealth, and what do we need to do? And we used flowcharts and we used splat boards, like poster boards on the wall, and we went through every single piece of what we could imagine, knowing we were going to miss some things. But I'm really proud of the team because we were in 5 days from in-person to fully remote and giving people the option for telehealth. And I have to give credit to our chief medical officer, who is our psychiatrist, because it was his brilliancy that 2 years prior to the pandemic, he had said to me, I think we need to introduce telehealth into the psychiatry program because it would give us better access to more providers outside of the state of Maryland. And it was because we had a technology plan, because we put telehealth in place, that we were able to pivot in the way that we were. And through all of it, my staff will tell you, one of the staple things I say is we are going to get it wrong. We are not always going to do it right. And it was really important that our team was able to say, okay, that didn't work. Hang on, we've got to come up with a different solution. And I am someone who totally believes in the art of using the pause. And so when we didn't have an answer, we would say to the team, hang on, we're doing the very best that we can. We were honest, we were transparent, and we relied on the medical team to be able to advise us the best they could. And we just said to our team, we are doing the best we can with the information that we have. Hang on, stick with us. We are in this in a way that we are going to get solutions together.
Did you find, what was the response from the community when you guys went to telehealth?
You know, we had to be creative. Excuse me. We had to be creative because you had to do things different. So Katie Tiki, our vice president of marketing and communication, said, you know, let's create stickers to put on pizza boxes. We were dealing with sexual assault victims. People were in their homes. The hotline stopped ringing because why? People weren't safe to make the calls because someone was always in the home. So we had the idea to put stickers on pizza boxes. And so when food was delivered, it would say, call the hotline. We worked with our local restaurants. We put cups, disposable cups, in all of the local restaurants with our information on it. We took flyers down to all the local restaurants so that when people were ordering food, they could be getting the disposable cups. We could be getting our information out there. We started taking out billboards because we knew that people weren't going to be coming into the community as much as they had, but we knew they were still driving and commuting. And so it was really about the pivot, and the community responded. I was asked to serve on a business call once a week that was all about checking in with the business leaders. And it was a really great response because people started to recognize that, you know, we used to talk about mental health diagnosis. If you'd asked, if you and I were sitting here 10 years ago, we would be talking about the diagnosis and prescriptions and how you can be helped. Now we all talk about symptoms because we recognized in there that people's brains are programmed for beginnings and ends. Our cortisol in our brain is not set up and designed to be in an unknown space. 3 years of unknown is a long time.
It's a long time.
And so we had to really pivot and move in ways that we were nimble, that we were responsive. And my philosophy, my mother said this to me long ago, nothing changes if nothing changes. And so we took that philosophy as an organization. You can't get different results if you don't make changes. And so that's what we did the entire time. And it paid off for our community in huge ways.
I love to hear that. That's great. That's what it's all about. And since we're going to stick with the community, what does community mean to you?
You know, community is partnership. It's connection. And it is how we come together to solve problems, to find solutions, and to be able to say that we are doing something together. When I first came into this job, there was... I was one of maybe one or two women at the table. There were a lot of men in positions of the CEO role. And I was a deer in headlights. This was not the career that I thought I was going to go into. I didn't go to school to be a CEO. I jumped in because it was a need. And I said, I think I can do this. So after about 6 months, I finally became the person that the CEOs referred to as the girl who's going to tell you to check your ego at the door. Because what I learned in that first 6 months was that there were so many people jockeying to be the best and so many people jockeying for their space at the table that I finally said to everybody, we have to check our egos at the door. We need to come in and be solution focused and find conversations where we're not talking about who needs the most patients. There is more mental health need in our community than there will ever be providers. So why are we focused on who's got the most patients? Let's talk about who does what well. So an example of what I did in our first 2 years was examined our programs. We have a domestic violence agency in town. The former executive director was doing an after-hours anger management program. The bottom line is, I couldn't staff it. There wasn't anybody interested on our staff to do it. And so I called the executive director of the other organization and I said, you can have this program because it's not in our wheelhouse. It's not our expertise. And she said, but it makes money. And I said, fantastic. I'm glad you're going to take it. Make some money. This is a program that wasn't thriving for us and it was something that was distracting us from our mission. And so when we are in community together, it's important that we're looking at who our partners are, know what you do well, and share and refer out to the other experts in the community because no one agency can do it all. But when we come together in connection, that's when we have our thriving community. It's those moments where you can pick up the phone and say, we just did this weekend. I called an executive director on Friday and said, hey, here's what's happened. We have an event coming up. Somebody else has come in with the same type of event. We're concerned about the number of people that are going to come. Could we advertise at your event this weekend and you can become a sponsor of ours? Yes, absolutely. Why? Because we've got connection. Because we are a part of a community that wants to see our region thrive.
I love hearing that. Now, we're going to go to the next subject. One thing I really enjoyed talking with you and Lauren is that there's no wait. That's unheard of. Because I know for my son, we have going on, it took us a year to get my son in certain places. How did you guys manage to pivot that way and be ahead of the curve with the no wait?
Very carefully.
Okay.
So we used to carry an 18-month wait list, 18, 12 months, sometimes longer than that. And I was at a conference about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, and I attended a session on something called same-day access. And my chief clinical officer and I were at this conference, and I called her and I said, there is standing room only in this room, but I need you to come. We sat on the floor, and I said to her, if we don't do this, we will not survive. For All Seasons is a nonprofit in a community where billings are not going to cover our costs. You know, we have fee for service, we have grants, and we have donations. We will never survive as an agency on the insurance billings alone. It's just not possible in the way that the healthcare system is set up. And so I came back to the team and I said, you know, we're going to work with this national consulting firm. There's less than 500 organizations in the country doing this program, and we are going to figure this out. And there was a lot of pushback. We lost staff members who didn't want to see the change. It took me a while to get our folks on board. But what we did over an 18-month period was a slow and steady wins the race approach. And we took the entire way that our organization brings people in. We hired case managers. We hired new client services people. We went from, I'm going to call because I need services, and you're going to get a little bit of information from me, and then I'm going to be put on a wait list. And we checked in with everybody on the wait list once a month. And if someone was in crisis, we would try to get them in as quickly as possible. We now have people walking in our office 5 days a week. And when they need services, it is that day that they're getting their mental health assessment, and they're coming in the door. And we are extremely proud that we launched this program, a soft launch in August of last year. Our hard launch went in October. And we have been without a wait list, bringing 20 to 25 people in a week into the agency.
It's unheard of.
It's
unheard of.
It is life-changing for the community. It really is. You know, Aaron, you and I have connected on so many personal stories, and we've shared the struggles that we have had as people and with our families. And I was on a phone call with a friend. We had a community member who committed suicide close to the beginning of our year. And a community member called me, and I had reached out to her a couple of times and said, if you need anything, please let me know. They were very close. And it was a Sunday night. It was 7 o'clock. It was a week and a half ago. And she said, remember when you said I could call? And I said, sure thing. She said, the time has come. I'm really not doing well. That was Sunday night at 7 o'clock. The next morning at 7:45, she was at our doors, and at 8 o'clock, she was getting her intake, and at 9 o'clock, she saw a clinician. And that's what serving mental health and being able to respond to crisis is about, because you can't wait for 2 months if you're in crisis. you need the services now, and especially because we deal with the toughest of the tough cases, sexual assault and mental health, from the gamut of transition, maybe somebody's going through a divorce and needs services, to the chronically mentally ill. When crisis happens, you know, part of our job as a community mental health agency is to make sure that the community is being served, but it's also, I believe, and our team believes, our responsibility to divert people away from the emergency rooms so that you're not having people sitting in an ER. If we can be that space where people can come and receive services, and if we can then be, once somebody has been discharged from a hospital, the place where people continue to get care, that's when we see a healthy community. It's the gaps in between that if we're not paying attention to, and we're saying to someone, you know, you and I talk about this. If you have children who have high-level mental health needs, the wait lists for the specialists all the way across the bridge are, you know, a year, 18 months, 2 years. And so we have to figure out ways in a rural community to be able to serve differently so that our families are taken care of. And it's not just one person, but it's the whole unit.
I love that. So I know everybody's having a great weekend. And they're enjoying themselves. But I want to finally say, what do you have planned for some of the highlights? So let's go back 2030. Give us some highlights. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they've heard it already, but I want to make sure the audience hears it. So when they come over and say, hey, we can call and check you guys out.
Yeah.
But highlights of 23 and then what you got planned for 24.
Sure. I think some of our largest highlights, obviously, it's the open access. You know, right. It's really being able to bring that open access program there. And it not only works for our therapy, but also for our psychiatry program. And so what we're doing right now is working with situations where, you know, in mental health, sometimes people come off their medication. The nature of mental health is that consistency is not always at the forefront of what we do. And so our project that we are working on right now is to create a medication bridge clinic so that when someone has not called for a refill on prescription, or when someone is out of medication, we can bring them in for a quick bridge visit where they will get enough medication to get them to the next appointment so that folks are not coming off medication. Because I can tell you that as the mom of a child who has ADD, my child, when he's not on his medication for 2 weeks, it messes with the whole system. Mm-hmm. It's not something where you can say, oh, it's fine, don't worry about it. The consistency is really important, and that will allow our families and our clients and our patients to be able to stay consistent. The other thing that was really great for us in 23 was the Center for Learning that we have established at the agency. It's a major part of who we are. You know, us even talking and being here, this is all part of the training and the community work that we are doing. The more that we're having conversation, the more that our team and that I am out in the community presenting, even this weekend that is here, this is an opportunity for people to learn about mental health in a different way. The more we're talking, the more that we are sharing stories, the more that we're helping people understand that we all have stuff, and it isn't as pretty as Facebook makes it look all the time, the more that we can then connect and be healthier. And we've also become a part of a really important campaign across the state of Maryland, which is an anti-human trafficking campaign. Our comptroller, Brooke Learman, wrote a bill that was passed a couple of years ago that helped to connect all of the rape crisis centers across the state of Maryland in serving human trafficking victims. I'm super blessed to not only be in this role with For All Seasons, I also serve as the chair of the board of directors for the Maryland Coalition Against Sexual Assault. And so in my role in sort of both camps, you know, I get to learn a lot about what's happening at the rape crisis centers across the state. There's 17 of us in the rape crisis centers, and we have done a great job of trying to stay connected and sharing programming. But this regional navigator program makes it that it's designed success to be able to serve human trafficking victims with a connectedness of all of the rape crisis centers. So that if someone shows up at our office, we don't have overnight beds at For All Seasons. We are strictly an outpatient mental health and rape crisis center. But our partner, Life Crisis Center in Salisbury, has beds. And so I can pick up the phone, or our rape crisis center director could pick up the phone and talk to Jamie and say, we have a victim, here's what we need. If we need to get someone across the bridge because it's a safety issue, we can send them over across the bridge to one of the other rape crisis centers. And what that's done is it's helped us be in sync in more strategic ways. It's also allowed us, and one of the things that we did with MCASA, you know, Katie, who does all of our marketing, worked with the MCASA staff because it's about sharing resources. They don't have a marketing person on staff, but we do, and Katie's brilliant at what she does. And so Katie worked with their team to do an online information campaign to help people understand that human trafficking is showing up online for our children. And so Katie worked with their team. We put that whole campaign together, and then it was shared out to all the other rape crisis centers because not everybody has the ability to do the marketing in the way that we do it. But another agency does their training a little bit different, or they have something else that we need, and so this connects us all. And so that's really where 23 has started. We are really looking forward to digging in more on that. The other thing that has been a large part of our agency is Lisa Lee, my chief clinical officer, and I are working with our first responder communities. We are a part of a steering committee called Talbot First, and it is bringing our EMS, our fire, our police, our 911 dispatchers, our corrections officers together. And our agency is a major player in the field of first responders because when crisis happens in the community, we provide community debriefings. We go and we work with the folks who are responding to the car accidents that have fatalities or the house fires. We're also going and working with folks in the community when there's a suicide. We work with families. We work with the folks who maybe have lost a loved one in a workspace. And so this Talbot First program is really about infusing mental health into all of our first responder communities and creating peer supports in a way that they don't see me and say, oh God, Beth Ann's here. She's going to talk to us and it's going to be a therapy session. What we're really working to do is to infuse mental health so we become a part of the success so that when our first responders are struggling, they have a resource and we are breaking down the stigma that it's okay to reach out for help.
So I guess you guys heard a resounding theme. What was that? Community. And that's what I wanted to keep bringing it all back together so everybody knew what I was talking about in the beginning. We didn't even rehearse this at all.
Right.
We didn't. Trust me, I just got here. But I wanted to walk away. What do you want people to, I know we talk about community, but what do you want people to walk away who are watching from all over? What do you want them to walk away with?
We all have stuff. We all have stuff. And if we continue to live in a bubble and think that someone else has it in a perfect situation and our stuff isn't as bad as someone else's, so we don't say anything, so we don't reach out, we won't move forward. And I think the beauty of our conversation and the way that we can continue to move through our mental health is have conversations. You know, trust is built in small moments and connection is built in small moments. And if we can show up as our true selves and lean into the values that we hold, we all have experienced something. We all have trauma. Someone's trauma may be larger in your mind than yours, but it impacts the way that we get to show up. And when we can address that early in our children, when we can address it early in families, the earlier that we have conversations and the more skills that we can help our families build. And remember that we are like a jigsaw puzzle. You know, it is my true belief that everybody in this room and the way that we look at community, we all have a piece. And so if you bring your piece to the table and you find where you fit, you don't have to be a clinician. You don't have to be a CEO. You can be someone who makes a difference in a really small way, but it might be a small way that makes all the difference for somebody else in a really large way. And so figure out who you can be in your community. And maybe you're somebody who's watching and you're saying, holy moly, like I'm the one who needs the help. That's okay too. So your role right then and there is to reach out and let someone else help you. But we as a community have to be able to share resources. One of the things that shifted after COVID was the check-ins that we would see with one another. You know, water cooler conversation fell to the wayside because we weren't around one another. How many of us say to somebody when you're passing them in the hallway, like, hey, how are you? And you're so busy going to the next meeting or you're so busy going to the next thing or you're getting your kids here or there. Take a step back, and I'm giving everybody the invitation to check in on one another and ask someone how you're doing. And if someone says, I'm not doing okay, know that you don't have to have the answer. You know, I don't expect that everyone is going to be able to sit up and talk about mental health like I do, no different than you would expect somebody could run a podcast. But if we know that simply saying, I'm so glad you shared with me, let's figure this out together. You know, our campaign at the agency is ask, listen, share. Ask the question and sit there and listen in a true way where you can connect with someone and then share the resources. That's what will make the difference for us as we move through the hard things, because they're going to continue to happen. But if we can move in a space where we are relying on one another and reaching out and connecting, that will make the difference for mental health. And do not hesitate to reach out and say, you know, you might be somebody who's listening in Baltimore City or Baltimore County and saying, well, that's great, but I don't live on the Eastern Shore. Call us anyway. We have telehealth services. If we can't help you, we'll connect you to someone where you are. Picking up the phone is that first step. And we might not have the solution or the answer, but we will absolutely help you figure it out.
Drop the mic right there. We're good. But you're not going to get off that easy, though.
I know.
There's something with the podcast and a call, mm-hmm. Speed Round.
Yep.
We never let anybody off easy. All right, so we're going to go with crabs, okay?
Oh, geez.
Okay, you know. Mm-hmm. Do you have crabs or do you crab cake person? Where are you?
Crabs.
Okay, good. All right, we mm-hmm. deal with that.
Yeah, we're right here. I'm right here.
The reason why I like crabs is because you get off your phone.
Mm-hmm.
I want to connect with people again. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be on your phone eating crab cake. That's just, why are we here then?
And you know what I love about picking crabs is that I'm from New York. I didn't grow up with crabs. And so it's kind of a new thing. I've only been here since 2005. So I'm a new crabber. But you know.
It's all right though.
My father comes down and he has zero tolerance for picking crabs. He'll do like one or two. What I love is I get to take care of my dad in a way that I don't normally get to, because I have no problem sitting and picking for him. And so he sits next to me and I feed him
while
I'm picking crabs, because I'll do it all day long. It's right. Awesome.
You might trip up on this one. This is a Maryland thing.
Oh.
Ice creams or snowballs?
Snowballs.
Okay, all right. You're good. All right, let's make sure.
I mean, Aaron, I have four teenagers. Of course I know about snowballs.
Okay, I got to make sure. You said from New York, you know, New York is like, I want ice cream.
Yeah, uh-huh.
We do add custard mm-hmm. on the snowball. I don't know how, wow. So that's a big thing.
Uh-huh.
And one of the number one snowball stands in my area where I live. So.
Well, then we're going to have to come check it out. Right.
We're going to do something. Mm-hmm. If you eat chicken wings, flats or drums?
Flats every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
There we go. There we go. See, ladies in the back, they're pumped about that. All right.
And what I love to do mm-hmm. is ask people when I'm ordering, can I get all flats?
Yeah.
And it totally confuses them why I would want all flats.
Yeah, I only get flats.
I want them crispy, and I want them flat.
All right, so here's another question. Blue cheese or ranch?
Blue cheese all the way.
I do ranch for French fries. That's about it. I don't do that's a lot, but mm-hmm. with wings, I need my wings. I need the blue cheese chunks.
Yeah.
That's
oh yeah. When it's chunky,
that's
it's the best.
That's what I need right there. Mm-hmm. If we all hopped in your car right now, besides the first thing you'd be listening to is No Picture Dark podcast.
Right.
What would you else would you be listening to?
The first thing. Oh well. Okay.
Yeah. We want to hear.
So. I do theater outside of doing this, and I have a certain song that is my like game face song. So you would hear Girls Like You from Maroon 5, because that is the song that I listen to get in the zone of having to be on in my position or in conversation.
So that's your motivational song, right?
It is.
Everybody
it's totally.
Has a song.
I use it. I went and got my dress on before the podcast. That's what I had on as I was doing my makeup. It is my like game time song.
Okay, because I went in the bathroom, the guy was looking at me weird. I had Biggie Smalls playing. And like, so what are you doing? I'm like, I'm vibing, man. Let me be in the zone.
So we all have our way. We get ready.
You're all right? Yeah. Don't worry about the customers. Uh-huh, sorry. Uh-huh. But that's how I get in the zone. What's your favorite Super Bowl halftime show?
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of good ones
out there.
You know,
it's interesting. So I wouldn't have said this to you 4 or 5 months ago, but I just watched the special on J-Lo's halftime show and what she went through to be able to bring some really huge social justice issues that were connected to human trafficking and being able to make sure that we are creating a safe space for all. And so I would say now, having watched the documentary about the Super Bowl halftime show, it would definitely be hers.
Okay.
You need to watch it if you haven't.
I gotta watch it because I'm sorry, my favorite one was Prince, because he was singing Purple Rain.
Prince.
He was singing Purple Rain and it started raining.
It started raining.
And that wasn't even like planned, but I was like, this is amazing. And he was my favorite artist of all time. And I got to see him before he passed away.
That's awesome.
And I cried watching him. Like, this little short guy can play eight different instruments.
Yeah.
And his high heels. I'm like, this guy's awesome.
Yeah. Adam Levine is like a cool second. And I'm super excited to see Usher because
that man
can dance like no one's business. I'm super excited to watch him dance.
Hamburgers or pizza?
Totally a hamburger kind of girl. I'm a total hamburger kind of girl.
I can go with that. I can go with that. And again, thank you for all your time. Thank you to the audience for hanging out with us this evening. I really appreciate and meet everybody. Hopefully I can shake everybody's hand before I leave and just say thank you for your time, because again, we can't get time back. Where can we find you guys on the website? Give us a website.
ForAllSeasonsInc.org. It's F-O-R, all seasons with an S at the end, INC.org. You can also find us on Facebook at For All Seasons Behavioral Health and RCC. We're on Instagram, and you can reach us by a phone as well, which is 410-822-1018. And we also have 24-hour hotlines that are accessible, so check us out online and find out about the programming.
A little exclusive that when this episode comes out, people will find out. You guys will hear it. Lauren doesn't know this yet. They don't know it yet. But we're in the works of doing some stuff with them on the other shore. So she can spread the message over here and over in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So I got some things in the works on the back burner that I think will be very instrumental coming up. There's so many different festivals that we have in the area, mm-hmm. from Artscape to AFRAM to so many things. That Artscape's back in the summertime, if anybody knows about that. Mm-hmm. So we're working on some things with that, and some healthcare institutions working on some things. So mm-hmm. I think it'll be a great play for her to come over and really talk about what's going on and spread the message, because I really believe in what the mission is, and I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe it. So thank you, ladies, for the night. Love, peace, we're out.